morning. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and we've Let's Find Out on BBS Radio. And that was William Vitalis opening our eyes and our hearts to the world. It's February 12th, and guess what? This week brings us Valentine's Day. So February is heart month for me. Heart month, that means watching your body and the food you intake. Heart month because you can watch your love and maybe meet your soulmate. And heart month because it's time to give to one of your favorite charities in February. That's always been my code. So welcome to Let's Find Out. Tonight my guest is Susanna Utbult. And the thing that I'm so excited about is that she's from Sweden. And her profession is feng shui. I love feng shui. Susanna is a feng shui expert. She owns her own Nordic school in Sweden concerning feng shui, and she has taught several hundred students. She loves teaching and helping people to create better homes and better lives, but she designs houses for clients at the right time. And she's been an expert for many years. She has finally come to realize what many of us know as well, that the home is just one side of the coin for creating a better life. The other side of the coin is you. You really matter. It doesn't mean anything if you have a home, according to feng shui, if you're in a mess internally. You just have to do the work to get the whole coin to shine the way that you deserve, because this is your birthright. So balance in everything, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. She studied with Bob Proctor, who I'm anxious to hear more about. So good evening, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Good evening, Elizabeth. I'm doing very good. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Tell us about feng shui in Sweden. My goodness, what's special about Sweden? I know it's at the top of the globe. I've always
Sweden. Yeah, special about Sweden, it's quite a cold and dark country. And we live for the light, kind of.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we embrace the light and we are just waiting for the sun to come out in spring. And the summer is quite short. So we are really celebrating the whole summer to celebrate the light. And that has also made us very interested in to bring light into our house, into our homes, into our interior design. So that's the special Scandinavian style. It's light and airy.
I had two foster children from Sweden and I took care of them and got them through high school. So I especially love your country.
Oh, that's lovely.
When did you start working with feng shui? Tell us about your training, Susanna.
Oh, yeah. I started to study in 1998. But then I also had to do my education, of course. So I started to work in 2004. And this is my second school I have now. I had first another one with a colleague. And this one, I took over it in 2010. And this is the Nordic School of Feng Shui. It's the biggest and almost the single one in the northern countries.
And you started it?
I didn't start it. There was another woman. She started it in 1999, and I took over 10 years later. So in 2010.
And you have students?
I have students, yes. And I have had several hundred students, and I have educated new consultants, feng shui consultants, so they can actually have a new kind of profession after they have taken the course from the Nordic School of Feng Shui.
They can teach classes too at your school, and you're expanding?
Yes, we are expanding all the time, and we are creating more courses and in a deeper level. Because people want to move forward, of course.
I think what you just said to me, Suzanne, is something that would be after my heart's desire. I think you just said to me, not only are we teaching feng shui, but we're going to be teaching courses in metaphysics and how to meditate and go deeper inside.
Okay, that's what you meant. that's a part of it. It is a part of it all the time. Mm-hmm. Because
it's good if you added courses in metaphysics, because feng shui is more placement. Does feng shui involve colors as well placement?
Oh, yes, definitely. It contains colors and the shapes and the forms and the flow of energy. So it contains a lot, almost everything. You can put in everything into the subject of feng shui.
And when you work with people, do you work with specific colors in their home? Do you work, for example, by their birth date? Do you take their birth date and go by the birthday color?
We work by their birth date, but not to find the color of their birth date, because we are using the color psychology, and we mix that together with a theory about the five elements. So it's how you are affected by the colors in a deeper psychological way.
Correct.
Yes.
Well, explain to us. I know there are six sections in feng shui. Can you explain to us what feng shui actually is? It's kind of like a map, isn't it?
That's just one tool in feng shui. Feng shui is huge. It's so many different areas. But what you're talking about the bagua, and that is like a map you put over your floor plan of your home. And it contains nine areas. So there are eight. Mm-hmm. So there are eight areas, one for each direction in the compass, and one in the middle. And the one in the middle, it obviously has no direction at all.
Do they each have a name? Like
they do.
Could I know what they are, one through eight?
Yes. They all have a name, and there are so many different aspects of each area, but we always used to connect them to an area, an aspect of life. So there's life, life path and career. So it's inner knowledge, health and wealth and fame and love and relationships and creativity and the path of life to travel and to be supported in life. So there are all these nine areas, and the one in the middle, it's just about balance. So we call that the Tai Chi.
Tai Chi, I love Tai Chi. I'm learning about feng shui. I really haven't learned that much about it. I used to work with it a little bit when I lived in Vermont. That was in the 80s. So it's been a while for me. For our listeners, how would you start working with feng shui if somebody wanted to start doing balance? I know it's Chinese and Japanese, correct? And it started with the Japanese, is that correct?
Well, I would say it started with the Chinese. So they say that it evolved from the southwest of China. And it evolved, but also you can find there is one kind of feng shui in Japan, and there's one kind of feng shui in all the nearby countries around China.
Suzanne, do you feel that each one brings the same type of balance or a different type of balance?
Well, I don't know all the different kinds of feng shui, but I know that every kind of feng shui, they work towards the balance, and the way to get to the same goal can be a little bit different, and you can have different tools, but the goal is always to find the balance and the harmony.
Right. So what are some of the tools that you use?
Yeah, I used to say that we have a toolbox. So in that toolbox, we have the flow of chi. We have the power position, which is also about the forms. We have yin and yang. We have the five elements. And then we use the Bagua. And in the Bagua, all the tools is actually in the Bagua as well. So the Bagua is it's just a theory. You can put everything into the Bagua and explain everything, actually.
Now, what does that word Bagua mean?
It means approximately eight areas. So Ba in Chinese means eight, and Gua, it's one area or a sector or
a section.
A direction could be, yes, also.
Okay, so now, as we go through the eight areas, is there a color assigned to each area? I understood that violet in my living room, which is on the left side of my house facing outward, I should put violet and jade in order to attract abundance.
Yes. I think when you are using that kind of Bagua, you call that the Western Bagua, and that is a little bit different from the original Chinese Bagua, but I definitely know what you're talking about because we are teaching that in my school as well. I think it's important that we teach both kind of Baguas. So yes, according to the Western Bagua, you can have violet, and jade, because that's the wood element. The jade is the prosperity area.
I know. For the world. Anyway,
yeah.
Now, I'm a wood horse, so maybe I should use the wood element. Would that be right?
I think it isn't that simple. It's not that simple. No.
I'm trying to show the listeners how it all works.
Yeah. No, I can't tell you so quickly. To find out what every person needs, you have to make a deeper study of the person. Yes.
So it's individual. That's
yes,
very
definitely.
Very
yes.
Good. And I asked you at the beginning, do you ask a person's birthday when you're working with feng shui?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Balance too.
Yes, because we use a technique which is called eight mentions, and after we have calculated that, we have found out what are your best directions or what are your worst directions, so you can be facing a good direction when you're sitting at your desk, for instance, or when you're lying down, when you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. So that's one technique. You know, there are so many different techniques.
I know, and it's interesting to know them. That's wonderful. So the best direction when you're sleeping, isn't that with your head to the east?
No. It's dependent on what year you are born.
What year you were born?
Yes.
Okay, and is that broken down, Suzanne?
What do you mean broken down?
Well, if I was born in 53, would you be able to tell me what direction
I'm sleeping? No, not. I wouldn't tell. I can't tell you just out from the top of my head. I just have to check it out for you. You know, there are so many different techniques out there, and you cannot have everything in your head. You have to have like a book of different formulas to know everything. And yes, of course, we use the intuition as well. So that's a very important tool, which we must put into the toolbox.
Absolutely. I agree. It sounds
yes.
to me like I might even use a little bit of muscle testing.
Oh, yes.
Because I do muscle testing. And mm-hmm. I love muscle testing. I learned it a long time ago from Tibetan monks, actually, And it's very, very important. So you're almost like somebody doing astrology, which is what I do. I'm going to compare that to feng shui in the sense that it brings balance and each reading is individual. Each chart is individual. There are really no two astrology charts exactly alike. And I'm one of two sets of identical twins, so I can testify to that. So it sounds to me like feng shui is built on the same thing. It has to do with energy, your personal energy, perhaps some of your ancestry energy, as well as the way you are today and what you want to bring into your life. So that would be individual.
Yes, that's completely right. Every person is an individual and every house is different. So you always have to align the house with the person who's living there. So it's very, it's very personal.
You know something, Suzanne, we have something going on in this country. I'm not sure you are aware of. It's called hoarding. Hoarding is when there's so much in the house that the person almost has to live outside. And I think it's a nervous disorder. Can you tell us about cluttering in the home and why it's important to declutter and how you can do that with people? It isn't easy.
Yeah, I think that's not just in your country. I think you can find it anywhere in Sweden as well. But what happens when you have lots of clutter, it's you are connected to your house. So your house is like an extension of you. Your house is actually you. So if you have lots of clutter, then the energy and the chi cannot flow freely in your house. And that means also that you as a person will get affected by that clutter. So it will be stagnant energy. And you can compare it to, what is the word I'm looking for? The Chinese... Acupuncture. You can compare it to the acupuncture because when you have like a sore part of your body, then the energy is stagnant there. There is a blockage in the energy, and then you'd have to release the energy by putting needles into your body and to stimulate that part. So decluttering is exactly the same. You stimulate your house, the body, your house, by decluttering, and then the flow of energy can start to flow freely, and then you will feel much better.
It feels to me like blowing your nose and having stuffed sinuses. And so why are we so affected by this? Tell us about the flow of energy and the importance of the energy flowing in a balanced way.
Yeah, it's like the flow of energy, that's our nourishment, and we need that in order to live good lives. So when we open our front door, the good energy is going to flow into our houses, into our lives. And if we have a blockage outside the door, for instance, on the driveway or anything else that blocks the flow of chi to come into us, then it will affect our lives, literally, because we are not getting the nourishment. We are energy, and we also need energy to be balanced and to live healthy, well-balanced lives.
Energy is important. So tell us what we can expect and how this is scientifically proven, and then what does it do once you have a feng shui home?
Oh, that was many questions in one. Okay, let's break it down.
Absolutely.
So scientifically proven, it's quite recently when they have started to actually prove that we are so much affected by our homes and our environment. If we have, for instance, two small windows, so we are not having enough light, that is going to affect us dramatically, because we, after just 1 week with too little light, we are going to be depressed. And also we have other physical matters beginning to get diabetes, for instance. And they have also proven that you can endure pain longer if you are in a beautiful room. And that's something that feng shui always want to do, create beautiful environments. That doesn't mean that we want to be in pain, of course, but it's so interesting that we actually can prove that the beauty is it's healing for us.
It is. You know, when I was in California, I went to a place called Self-Realization Lake Shrine. And it's like a Japanese garden. It's a lake, and it's a circular lake that's man-built. And then they have forest, a lot of greens, but there's little enclaves where you can go in, and each enclave has one deity to a different religion. For example, they have a Muslim one, they have a Jewish one, they have a Catholic one, they have a Christian one, and all the different, and Hindu. And you can go and sit in whichever enclave you want. But it's so beautiful. It is so balanced. It's so much in harmony. And you just feel at one with all of them. None of them feel wrong or feel upsetting. They're all beautiful, but you have one that's going to give you more comfort. And that's feng shui, in a sense, from what you're saying. Houses are different. They're decorated differently. And there is one that gives you more comfort. When I was a teenager, I didn't know about foreign countries and foreign lands and decorations. My mother was a New England Baptist, born-again Christian, Ethan Allen type of furniture. My friend took me to New York City to a department store that sold only furniture. And every floor was a different country. So I went to Paris, I went to Japan, I went to China, I went to all Bombay and Beijing. It was beautiful to see all the different ones. And I took my time. I wanted to know which one made me feel more comfortable. It was very interesting. And that's why how you develop respect and warmth for everybody's ideas that are theirs, individual.
Yes. It is important that we have respect and that we are humble for different ways of seeing things. So definitely, yes. And you can see that in feng shui as well. There are so many different ways of approaching and using feng shui. And I think it's very important that we just are open to that there is no right or wrong, because you can do it in different ways.
Yes, it's just preferences.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us how this is scientifically proven?
I talked about that earlier. The scientific, they are measuring the brain waves, how we respond to different rooms, so they can see what kind of brain waves we are creating. So in a room with good feng shui, we are creating a calmer kind of brain waves rather than when we are in a room with bad feng shui. So if you're sitting so you can see the door, for instance, then you will be calm and you will be safe. And you can actually also measure the level of stress hormones in your body to see that you have an increase of stress hormones when you are in a room with bad feng shui.
That's very interesting. You know, in the 70s, I worked with architects, and they were building homes for hard-to-place children. That's the first time I learned about color and how color affects you. And what they were doing, and it could have been feng shui, was they were working with colors of paint. And they knew that they wanted the bedrooms to be a blue or a green. and that the playroom could be an orange or a yellow, and that the dining room would be white. Isn't that interesting? Because all of those colors were measured and affect you in a certain way. They affect your temperament.
Yes. Yes, it's very interesting. And when you say the bedroom blue or green, I totally agree, because the blue and the greens makes us calm. It's relaxing colors. So that's what you want in a bedroom. And
the lighter shades of those colors, like baby blue or periwinkle, not navy. The light shades, especially in Sweden, right?
I don't know, especially in Sweden. Actually, in Sweden, we want to have most whites at all times. That has been like a huge trend for a long time. I think because we just love the light and we need it badly.
Well, good to know that New York City does that too. All of the apartments are always painted white. I thought that was interesting. It does bring in more light. So what can you say about the results that you expect when you work with your clients?
Well, the result I expect is that they are going to feel a difference immediately after we have finished, as soon as we have made the alterations, of course. That they can actually feel inside their body that they are more relaxed, that they can feel that they are not threatened by anything. It's difficult to explain the feeling, but it's just a feeling of feeling good. Mm-hmm. And also over time, you also have to give it some time.
Sure.
Because some things you cannot just do it immediately. You have to, it's like a process.
Right. All energy is like a process. Even getting sick, getting well, it's all a process. Yeah. If you're to mention three signals for feng shui, what would that be?
Just three single words that explains feng shui. I would say balance, harmony, and clarity. Harmony and balance, that's what we all need. But the clarity, we also need that. And I think that's very important we are clear.
One of my favorite words. And so many of us aren't, and we don't realize it. Really. Today we're going to be taking a station break. And this has been wonderful information. We're going to be doing our program messages. Would let me have your website, please.
Well, I have two websites. So the first one is www.nordic-fengshui.com, and the other one is www.susannautbult.com.
And spell Nordic Feng Shui.
Nordic hyphen Fengshui.
Why or I? Feng Shui. Shui?
Yes, the last letter is I.
Okay, thank you. And Susanna, you want to spell Susanna Utbult?
Yeah, SusannaUtbult.
Thank you, and that's how people can reach you. Also, this podcast will be up on the archives Monday if you guys want to contact Susanna for more information. This is Elizabeth Joyce, but let's find out. And now it's time for these messages. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And now it's time for our cosmic tip. Tonight, we will talk about the upcoming presidential inauguration of Donald Trump. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Stargazing, week of January 16th through January 22nd, 2017. Things remain intense this week, especially with the approaching inauguration and swearing-in of the new President of the United States in Washington, D.C. on Friday. There is a slugfest between two planets on Thursday, January 19th, that may have something to say about the situation the new president may have to face. There's not a lot to say about Monday, Martin Luther King Day. The moon is an efficient Virgo, so accomplishing terms on your to-do list will help you feel better. Tuesday and Wednesday continue the quiet theme of the early week, except that the moon has moved into social Libra, urging you to participate in sharing activities. However, it may be wise to remain home rather than traveling to Washington, D.C., which promises to be bedlam at best. Heavyweight Mars and Saturn square off twice in 2017. The first round takes place this week on Thursday the 19th, and the second one in mid-October. When Mars and Saturn are battling in the heavens, it's like trying to drive your car with the gas pedal to the floor and putting on the brakes at the same time. This indicates problems amongst the crowds as well as with the planned demonstrations in D.C. Later that same day, the Sun changes signs for the first time this year, moving from Capricorn into Aquarius. Mars is impatient action and Saturn is slow and deliberate. Thursday is a bit of a hurry-up-and-wait kind of energy, so pace yourself. As the Sun exits structured, orderly Capricorn and moves into Aquarius, the general focus shifts from what's the bottom line to the realm of taking action to make your ideas real possibilities. However, this administration will be getting off to a slow start. Although the Sun is slightly uncomfortable in Aquarius because it's harder for the Sun to express itself through Aquarius's rational and emotionally detached lens, that focus and reserve lens will come in handy during this week's Mars-Saturn frustrations. Friday is easier, as loving Venus is in harmony with transforming Pluto. If you need to have a deep conversation with people, Friday is a day to go to those emotional depths. Perhaps this softening of energies and thoughtfulness will be reflected in the inaugural address. Saturday continues to be pleasant, but requires your focused attention to whatever task is at hand. The challenge for this next month is for our new leader to keep a cool head without forgetting that he, too, has a heart. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Visions of Reality. The website is www.new-visions.com. If you'd like to call to make an appointment or ask a question, the 24-hour phone number is 201-934-8986. Be careful this week, especially with the weather and on the roads. And now let's get back to Let's Find Out with this week's guest. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I would like you to be a guest on my BBS radio show, Let's Find Out. It's a live internet radio show on bbsradio.com at Station 2. We discuss holistic health modalities, ESP, psychic services, New Age books, and much, much more. BBS Radio has a great worldwide listenership, and we utilize an over 6,000 name email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself, your business, your interests, your books or products, to promote yourself and your website and gain credibility. You will love this. Being on the air is really a lot of fun. The show is an hour long and you can talk about yourself and promote your gifts and your talents any way you please. We will create a list of 15 questions or more that I will ask you during the show to focus on that which you want to promote. I would love to book you as a guest for the show. We are on Sunday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If this sounds like something you would like to do, please send me an email for the Let's Find Out agreement form and all the details. My email is elizabeth.joyce.bbsradio@gmail.com. We are now booking air dates between February and May of 2017. Thank you for your consideration. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I wanted to give you an awareness about my winter and spring calendar. for 2017 because we have some wonderful opportunities for education and learning coming up. First of all is my first real spiritual chakras workshop. This is an introduction class as well as an experiential class. The weekend is planned for February 25th and 26th in Doylestown, Pennsylvania at the James Laura House. This is also considered a spiritual intensive because you will learn a lot about how to access the fifth dimension. And if you're serious about creating change, living in your true place in the universe, and working with your spiritual gifts that are your birthright, then this is the workshop for you. Through deep meditation, you will begin the journey and open your first spiritual chakra, the eighth chakra. This is very exciting, very thrilling, and very, very new. So we will all be working on them together. And it promises to be a heartwarming, growing, and wonderful spiritual experience. The next date is the weekend of March 11th and 12th, 2017. This is a holistic and psychic fair done for charity from the community of Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And of course, the charities are our local charities. We have been supporting this fair and donating to our local charities for the last 10 years. It's always well attended, and there's lots of information. We have body workers, we have psychic readers, we have wonderful information booths with all kinds of things to look at and browse. Come and join us for lunch. The lunch is $7, the entrance fee is $5, and it's truly a wonderful day event. You can create your own spa day with body work, having a reading, and hearing a lecture at your own convenience. Make it a spa day and bring your girlfriend. We'll have a great time. If you want to be a participant in this fair and sign up for a booth or a table, call Elizabeth. The number is 215-996-0646. For further information, you can go to the website new-visions.com and go under Calendar of Events. Everything is listed there for you. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I have just completed my new book, Unlimited Realities. I have completed Unlimited Realities, which is my life story, on the eve of me entering my golden years. It's a memoir. It's the life of a gifted seer and healer. When I was 8, I became ill with a touch of TB. We lived in Ridgewood, New Jersey, but Mother had grown up in Warner, New Hampshire, where her mother and family still lived. I was shipped up to Grandma's to live for a year, which was the beginning of the saving of my soul as well as my life. Grammy Hempel was a fourth-generation shaman born on a small Indian tribe in the state of Maine. During that precious time, I learned so much. Grammy taught me integrity of the heart. There, in the Mink Hills of New Hampshire, I received my first nurturing. I felt the touch of God's love, the glory of the animals, nature, clean air and water, honesty, integrity, and most of all, self-responsibility. I came to see that the mark of true wisdom is twofold. First, it encompasses every aspect of our being, body, mind, and spirit. Second, it touches our personal lives as well as our relationships with family, community, and the world. This book, Unlimited Realities, a memoir, is a page-turner. There are many, many spiritual stories over my lifetime, and I'd like to share them with you. Most of them are very uplifting, and they may show you how you yourself have your own psychic sensitivities to create your own unlimited reality. I would love you to read it and share to see how spirit works through the unfoldment of every day of our life. Unlimited Realities can be purchased at my website, www.new-visions.com, and after March 1st, it can be purchased on Amazon.com as well. Pick it up. You won't be able to put it down.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out. An honored guest, come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Elizabeth Joyce, and we're back with Let's Find Out. I want to thank Mama Cass for her song, Don't Let the Good Life Pass You By. I just love that song. I know it's a good oldie, but we're talking about feng shui tonight. And to me, living in feng shui is living in true balance, and it's the way every one of us should live. I think that's our birthright. My guest tonight is Susanna Utbult from Sweden, and I think that's exciting too. I'm just enjoying this so much. So, Susanna, how are you? Welcome back.
Thank you.
And we're going to be working on creating the life you want. So, can you build a feng shui house anywhere in the world, Susanna?
Yes, no. Not. I would like to say yes, but I think I have to be a little bit picky about that, because when we say that we are going to use feng shui for creating our house and to building our house, we have to be very careful where we build, so we can read the land, to look at the landscape to see exactly where are we putting this house, and to examine the nature to see that we have a good support from behind us and support at the side, and we want to be unblocked in front of us. So, no, we have to be very picky about it.
Where I live, it would be a little hard to be unblocked. I live on a cul-de-sac, and there's 7 houses on the cul-de-sac. So can I do feng shui in a house that's already built?
Yes, of course you can. You can always do feng shui wherever you live. And things can always be better. You can always improve what you already have. I work with people who are, they want to build their own houses. So then we start from scratch. And that is easier sometimes, because then you can actually start from the beginning. Otherwise, you have to make compromises all the time, and that's what life is about, to find different solutions, of course.
So when you buy the property, do you help them buy the property? Don't they have to have that in a special place as well?
No, I don't help them to buy the property. Most of the time, they already have a piece of land, And I visit that property and I examine it to see what kind of house is good for this property, for this piece of land. Sometimes it's good to have a bigger house, sometimes smaller. And I kind of would like to make the house fit into the nature and not the other way around. I don't want to take any rocks or to make the ground flat. I want the ground to be as it is, and I want to design the house so it's kind of fitting into the landscape.
That's interesting. I have a friend of mine that built a house in California right into the side of the mountain, into the side of the canyon. That was very interesting.
Oh.
There wasn't that much light in there, but there was in the front of the house.
Yeah.
So... most of your houses out in the country in Sweden, or are they in the city, or where?
No, we have lots of space in Sweden because we are only 9 million people right now.
My goodness, so, that's even New York City.
Yes, so we have lots of land to use. Uh-huh. So most of the houses are in the countryside. But also, I make consultations, feng shui consultations in cities as well, and in apartments. You can always use the tools of feng shui, always, wherever you are.
So somebody could email you from New York or California and ask you, and you could really help them get a start with it?
Both yes and no, because a proper feng shui consultation has to be done there at that very spot where they are living.
Okay.
Of course, but I can always give advice from online.
Yes.
It's possible to give advice, of course. Yes.
That's what I was asking, because I know some of my people might want to contact you and ask you how to start. Tell me about your teachings by Bob Proctor. I don't know his name. Tell me about him.
He's a Canadian man, and I got to learn about him in 2006 when he was part of The Secret. Have you heard about The Secret, the book and the film, The Secret?
It's not a book I care for at all. Yes, I've heard about The Secret.
Yes, so he was in that book, and so he has been working for more than 50 years with... creating good life in his special way, how you are thinking, how you can change your way of thinking to get rid of old paradigms.
Right.
Old paradigms can hold you back like big, heavy, rusty chains. And when you get rid of that, then you can start to live your own life.
Well, they are rusty chains. They really are. Hanging on to the past can really drag you down and stop you from going forward. And sometimes we don't even realize it.
Yes. And that's what he's doing. And he has taught me so much. I am on a coaching program together with him now for one year. And sorry, I couldn't hear you there.
You say coaching program, do you mean you're coaching others?
No, he's coaching me.
Okay. I just wanted to make it clear.
Yes. But after I have finished my coaching program, I would like to become a coach for him and his organization. It's Proctor Gallagher Institute.
Canada?
Canada, yes.
Whereabouts in Canada?
He lives in Toronto, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure where they have their headquarters, though.
My teacher lives in Canada as well. He lives near Quebec City. His name is Mark Tremblay, and he teaches cleaning out from within. He's a spiritual teacher.
Okay. Well, I have realized the more I work with feng shui, the more I realize that we need more than feng shui. Feng shui is lovely, it's a lot, but it's not everything. Sometimes when you are a new beginner, it may sound like, wow, if you just use feng shui, everything will just go your way and your life will be beautiful. But that's just half the truth.
I'm so glad you said that, because the reason I didn't like the book, The Secret, is because it left out the divine. Yeah. And I believe that you cannot change your life, live your life, or improve your life without including the divine.
Yes.
And so my teaching and my intensives are cleaning out from within. When I teach an intensive, I have people come and sit with themselves and go within and get rid of those rusty chains from the past so that they can open up to the clarity of the now and the future and whatever that flow can bring. So I worked with Louise Hay. Do you know Louise Hay?
Oh, yes, definitely.
For 5 years back when we did the hayrides in the 80s, she was wonderful. And then my other teacher was Dr. Deepak Chopra.
Oh, yes.
And both, and he was a lot about nutrition and balancing the body and balancing the chakras together. So good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Very good stuff. Yes.
What do you say to our audience as we close for tonight, Suzanne? Again, it's been wonderful having you here from Sweden. I've enjoyed it so much. What do you want to say to the audience tonight?
Well, I would like to say that be curious about feng shui, because feng shui can do a lot for you. But don't forget to take care of the other side of the coin. Work with yourself spiritually. And make a great wholeness out of that.
And that will bring you the balance of your home, your life, your work, your family, as well as the universe.
Yes, it will.
Again, will you give your websites?
Yeah, so it's www.nordic-feng-shui.com and www.susannautbult, which is susannautbult.com.
And you'll be able to find Susanna's information under our guest list, her photo and what she does and where she is on BBS Radio. And this pod will be available Monday in our archives forever and ever. Thank you for coming tonight, Susanna.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
And we will maybe have you again. I'd love to. Take care.
Oh, yes. Please. Thanks.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Next week, we're going to have Richie Ornstein on. He was a producer of the Joe Franklin Show. We're going to be doing a lot of finding out about music and how music affects us, and maybe have a little walk down memory lane. It's time to get ready for our meditation, and the meditation tonight is loving yourself through change. So get ready, get comfortable with both feet flat on the floor, or you can lay down on your bed as long as your legs are uncrossed. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out, and good night. The reason that people do not move forward with change is because they are unwilling and unable to devote the time and energy required to meditate and focus their thoughts on a new energy and discoveries within themselves, and stay with them until the change can have time to take form. It takes faith, trust, and determination to go into these fifth dimension energies and persevere. One of the most difficult experiences we all face looking back at our past is to understand where these beliefs, habits, and fears began. As we work to recognize these patterns, which we refer to as cleaning house, everything around you, including your thoughts, relationships, and emotions, often become messier and more complicated before they can be removed, healed, and resolved. It can be daunting for the most hardiest of souls when faced with what they may have to deal with as they begin to take a look at the repercussions and results of their past actions. Are you willing to ascend, to look completely at yourself on your journey to a higher level while wrestling with your ego? That ego who is always struggling to remain in control. As with anything that comes with great rewards, you need to be willing to look completely within yourself, and that requires the soul to open its heart and accept some painful responsibility for your actions. This brings you the reward of freedom, forgiveness, compassion, and understanding. Life is about how you handle each and every moment as you live. The outcome is not as important as the energy you put doing the walking of your path. The knowledge gained during your life walk puts out an energy, and the outcome is a result of that energy. So, sit in a deep chair, both feet flat on the floor, take some deep breaths. Open up the ground chakra and feel the light coming into your body and down your spine. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Take another deep breath. Release the breath. Don't judge yourself for human imperfections. Be gentle with them. Living in the now is a joyous moment of awakening. Breathe in. Let the new energy fill you. Breathe out. Breathe in. Let the new energy fill you. Breathe out. Breathe in. Feel the light as it shines through your entire body, giving you strength, stamina, and faith. Breathe out. Remember, anything is possible for the divine. Ask your blessed higher self, how can I experience more of whatever it is that I need to learn right now? Then wait for your answer. And whatever your answer is, as you begin to act on it, just know this, you are living in the moment. Accepting change has to do with living in the moment. And now let yourself relax, breathing in and out, feeling good, feeling energized, feeling filled with the new energies of the fifth dimension. Anything is possible with the divine. Remember, anything is possible with the divine.